Right now, during this portion of Vocal Point, we're going to be talking about the subject of millennials and political involvement. How do we get more Christian millennials to get involved, to be salt and light in our culture? And our guest is Dran Reese, who is the president of the Salt and Light Council. Their website, by the way, is Salt and Light Council, CONCIL.org. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point. Dran, great to have you back on the show.
Jerry, it's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, so why is it that when we see Christian involvement, there used to be the moral majority, and then that sort of fell apart? No, that didn't sort of fall apart. It fell apart. And then there was the Christian coalition, and eventually that subsided. And now maybe you have some people who are active and involved, but it seems to almost have skipped a whole generation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that pretty much the church is no longer discipling truly and what it means to be a Christian, and I think that that has turned into what we call apathy. And that apathy is has been transferred onto the next generation, the youth of America. And we are now living at a time where we really don't know what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to be engaged politically.
Well, I do think that some would argue with you and say, no, I'm not apathetic. I'm just not involved in the way you are. In other words, I'm for social justice, that kind of thing.
Well, sure, I understand that. We all have opinions on all of these things, but what people like that need to do is to take a real hard look at what's happening in the culture. If they're happy with it, then two thumbs up. But if they're not happy with it, then they need to get involved and change it.
Is the church negligent in changing the culture, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it talks in Ephesians that we're, as Christians, supposed to be in all the world, not just a portion of the world, but conveniently, over many decades now, and I think that's probably since the Johnson Amendment back in 1954, the church has removed itself from all political involvement, and as a result, we have watched a myriad of issues be taken away from us, starting with removal of prayer, and then going on down to legalizing abortion and now legalizing homosexual marriage. So when Christians remove themselves from the lawmaking of America, other people rewrite the laws, and that's what we're seeing.
So in other words, nature abhors a vacuum. Somebody's values are going to be represented. It's kind of like that old statement, you can't legislate morality. And actually, the opposite is true. Somebody is going to be legislating morality. The question is, whose morality? And if Christians don't show up, then it'll be maybe even anti-Christian morality that will be legislated.
And that's exactly it. That's what we have in America. We have a godless government. I mean, there are a few wonderful people that are in office that stand up for our moral values, and they're fighting, it seems like, an uphill battle now. But I look at so many now, even here in California, they're trying to pass a law because we now have a one-party state where the top two vote-getters get into office, and so now we are completely liberal here, and now they're trying to vote in a new law that communists can actually be in office, in political office. So what we're doing, what's happened is when that vacuum is now allowing people that are not loyal to the to our American government and to the values upon which this nation was founded.
Well, what about the homeschool movement? Do you find comfort in that?
Definitely. Anything that will get our kids out of the hands of the government indoctrination camps, which I call GICs, government indoctrination camps, and get them trained up in the way they should go, and homeschoolers are doing that. They are taking back, and many of them are Christians, taking back our Judeo-Christian foundations and teaching them the truth of American history.
But, you know, a lot of times people aren't getting this kind of encouragement from the pulpits.
Yes, Jerry, that is, you know, I really wrestled with this for a very long time. But I'm a businesswoman, and I have a business. And I sell products. And one day I asked myself, if this product that I'm selling is not doing very well, where's the very first place I need to look to increase sales of this product? It's a business 101 question. And so I actually ask many people that question, and they give me a variety of answers. But the answer is you look to your existing customer base. So one day I asked myself, if the morality of America has declined, where's the very first place you look where morality is even bothered to be talked about on a regular basis? And the answer was the problem is the church, and the solution is the church. If the people of God are not involved in the culture, and every one of them take their rightful place before God in obedience to Him, and to get out there and change the culture for righteousness, we're going to lose this culture altogether.
Hmm. Now, are you promoting preaching partisan politics?
Well, I don't think that's a question anymore. We actually the parties have chosen stands that are either along with the scripture and biblical principles or are standing flat against them. So I think it's not really about being nonpartisan. It's about who lines up to our biblical principles. And clearly there's one party that lines up better than the other party and doesn't boo God. And that is, I hate to, you know, say how this is now, but it truly is the Republican Party. So if you are a biblical Christian, the only party left for you to align with is the Republican Party.
You wouldn't see the Democratic Party ever getting to a point where they would maybe even allow for the pro-life candidates here or there, or pro-life people, or even a pro-life platform? I guess it's almost unthinkable at this point, I guess.
Exactly. They're not increasing their righteous stand before God. They're decreasing it. And so we have a real problem. There are some great pro-lifers in the Democrat Party, and they should be voicing their opinion loud and clear, and they should stand up and get this party back to where they originally were aligned. But today, they have gone off the rail. Who are these people? I really ask myself, what have they become? I was a Democrat many years ago, and then I became a Christian. And once I became a Christian and I looked at the platforms of these two parties, I really had to have a come-to-Jesus moment.
A literal one, yeah.
A literal. Yeah. Psalm 1, do not stand in the way of the sinner or sit in the seat of the mockers. And I have to say, that is the moment when I said I have to become a Republican. At least they are willing to fight for pro-life, pro-natural marriage, stand up for Israel, and our Second Amendment rights according to the Constitution, which is a Judeo-Christian heritage in this country.
I think if there were some Christian millennials listening to us right now, they might be very offended at this message. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think they would be, because they're growing up in a different generation where civics are not being taught anymore in the government schools. And because of that, they really don't know what this country is all about, why it was founded, or certainly they're being misinformed as to what this country was founded on or the reason why. And so, you know, we do have a whole new generation that's growing up that simply knows a lot. It's just misinformed on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the Republican Party for a second. There, just a couple days ago, there was a headline in the news where it said that there's a civil war within the Republican Party. Here, for years and years and years, we were told, the American people said, we want to repeal Obamacare. And the Republicans said, okay, fine, give us the House. Okay, you got the House. Okay, well, fine, give us the Senate. Okay, you got the Senate. Okay, fine, give us the presidency. Okay, you got the presidency. Repeal Obamacare. And they haven't been able to do it so far.
That's unfortunate, because that's exactly what we need to do, is to repeal it completely and get back to a free market system. That's what our country is founded on, capitalism, where everybody gets a shot, not government interference. But right now they are trying to do the typical thing that we keep getting forced into, is trying to appease both sides.
By the way, I think capitalism is one of those things where it's almost like a loaded term. It's got bad branding, if you will, and I'm kind of paraphrasing Jay Richards, if you know who that is. He wrote a book about God and greed, and he's definitely a pro-capitalist and free enterprise and so forth. But he did acknowledge that socialism has better branding, and I think this is especially true with the millennials than it is, say, with other people. But my goodness, wherever socialism is tried and put into practice, it ends up in misery and death, and all you got to do is look at Venezuela today. That is socialism put, you know, writ large, you know, in a nation's laws, and it ends up causing the people to starve. It's horrible.
Well, we used to teach against socialism in our public schools, but now that the socialists are here and they've recognized how they can take over America by just transforming our basic institutions, they're actually applying the techniques to us, and the youth are buying it. You go after the youth, you've got the country, because youth are impressionable. And, of course, we know that, it says in the Bible, foolishness is tangled up in the heart of the youth. The reason that they love a socialist environment is because they get free health care, free this.
Free college.
That. Pardon?
Free college.
Free college. That's right. And unfortunately, they don't get it until they go to work out there and they start having to pay taxes, and then they realize that they're funding their own demise.
Let me ask you a question. When Bernie Sanders was running for office, now that wasn't even that long ago. It was only about a year and a half or so ago. And anyway, so he's running for office. He's making all these socialistic promises. There were many, many people getting on the bandwagon, including a lot of millennials. Were some of those professing Christians?
Yes, I'm sure there were. Although among millennials now in that age group of 18 to 29, which we consider a millennial, mm-hmm. really we're only about one-fourth of those that have anything to do with religion. So technically, socialism is a godless system.
Yeah.
And so godless people run to the free stuff because they love it. They think they're paying their taxes. They're entitled to have their taxes returned to them in some manner. But those youth that are still attached in some manner to the church, hopefully, and I mean this sincerely, have hopefully been taught the truth by their parents or have been paying attention to what God says about working hard for your keep and not expecting someone to hand it over to you. I'm not sure that that is really being taught, and this is why we're perilously close in this country to losing our freedoms that they fought so hard for in the very beginning to provide their opportunity to now take from us.
Okay, you said earlier that the church is part of the problem mainly because of silence today, and you also said that the church can be the solution. So we have about a minute remaining. Why don't you go ahead and spell out what you'd like to see if the church were to step up to the plate and handle things right?
First of all, that the pastors would be educated in how to apply the culture to biblical scripture, and that they would be willing to get educated and retrained in how to properly pastor a flock and disciple them. That would be number one, because without leadership, this flock is going to go astray. You know, they perish from lack of knowledge in that church. But for those pastors that are out there, God bless America. Let them set up an internal organization. We call it a biblical citizenship ministry, which is, by the way, being salt and light, where the church is actually engaged in raising their voice on some of these issues that are our moral values, and stop allowing people to walk all over us like we've laid down on the ground to be walked over and voice their opinion. You can do that through setting up a ministry in your church, and we want to help any church that's willing to take that step get involved.
And you're talking about within the Salt and Light Council. In other words, your organization goes alongside the churches that are open to this and tries to help them with resources and so forth. All right, let me give you a website again. Oh, I'm sorry?
Sure. In 3 hours, any church can be up and running, and it's a church that would work greatly with the James D. Kennedy Organization. The website is Salt and Light Council. That's all spelled out, Salt and Light Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, Drannreese.org, and I'm Dran, and I'd love to talk to anybody out there ready to get engaged.
Dran Reese. Okay, thanks so much for being with us, Dran Reese. God bless you and all the best.
All the best to you too, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.